This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.
Hello, it's Steve. I'm back and this is episode 8. Thank you to Rob Lilly for looking after things for me. We are recording this obviously from Turin, but today I'm calling it Turain because it has not stopped raining all day. Get it? Turain? Yeah, you do. But everything is obviously sunny inside the delegation bubble here at the Palo Olimpico. We're recording this on a massive day of rehearsals because we've got our first glimpse of the Big Five. And so far today, I've seen Subwoofer from Norway stealing the Eurovision trophy. I got starstruck when I saw Constractor from Serbia's hand washing bowl, surely one of the props of this year. And also Michael Ben-David from Israel announced himself to the room as Celine Dion. What a diva. Loads on today. There are still lots of countries we've not heard from. So here is what's coming up. Constractor from Serbia is out of her comfort zone in a good way.
Today I woke up and I was like, okay, this is Eurovision. It's not quite my, you know, lifestyle.
Find out what made Michael Ben-David from Israel do this.
Wow, 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 wow.
And Denmark are literally playing with fire.
In Denmark, when we had the pyro, it was like outside of the stage, so you knew it wasn't going to hit you. But now you can literally walk on them, and I love that.
You can follow the Eurovision Song Contest on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and online at Eurovision.tv.
We'll also be checking in with Samia Hafsaoui on the actual Eurovision stage. But as I've promised several times on this podcast, we have been trying to get every single act on before the end of the run. And we're doing quite well, you know. There are loads today. I've been chasing Eurovision acts around the delegation bubble. And first, through this door, it's Emma Muscat from Malta. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm getting ready.
Yeah, you're getting ready. Because just tell us, what does your day involve today?
So I woke up quite early, actually, and started getting hair and makeup done. Got dressed, last minute alterations, and we headed over to the venue over here at the arena, and we're just fixing things up, wearing the shoes, and we're about to head off for our sound check.
This outfit you've got on, it's a shame it's the podcast because it's like, it's quite dazzling, isn't it? Can you just describe it?
Yeah, so basically it's a short dress made out of mirrors, hundreds of mirrors actually.
Hundreds of mirrors?
Yes, exactly, which is handmade and it took 4 weeks to make.
4 weeks?
Yes, by my incredible designer Drew. Yeah, so basically every mirror represents each and every one of us and our diversity.
What's it like actually being here now?
Well, I'm really excited. The adrenaline just keeps like going up and up. And it's just been amazing, absolutely amazing being here and living this atmosphere.
Who have we got in this room?
So I've got my team. Well, I would be nothing without them. So I've got the head of delegation. We've got the rest of the Maltese delegation. We've got my stylist, Drew and Crew. We've got my hairstylist, Nicole Gera. And my makeup artist, Justin Brigat. We've got my dancers, my manager, Keith Muscat, film crew, and literally everybody. We've got Josette and Michaela.
Is it quite nice to have basically a load of people follow you?
Yes, it's amazing, and I honestly wouldn't be anything without them, because it's like a massive team effort, and everybody has their own little role, and without a missing piece of the puzzle, everything would just collapse. So I'm very grateful for everyone.
You're like the queen. You're like the Maltese queen.
They treat me like the little princess.
Who should we get to say a little hello to from your team? What about
Keith, my manager?
So who's this?
So basically he's my manager and he's been following me for the past 10 years, and I'm just so grateful to have him in my life, because without him I wouldn't be here where I am today. He's the person who actually first believed in me and believed in my talent and helped me become who I am today and the artist I am today.
Keith, how is it being here finally?
It's very exciting, obviously. There's a lot of tension, but a good tension, you know. We are very focused on the final presentation of the whole show, and we're really looking forward to showing what we have.
So when you were learning piano, when you were first starting, did you enjoy it, or were you like, oh God, why are you making me do this? How did you feel when you were first learning piano?
I was actually very enthusiastic. I absolutely love the instrument, and I feel like it really does shape the artist that I am today. I actually thank my mom for it. She was the first one to push me to start learning the piano. There were times where I I literally hate it. Like when I was studying for exams and, you know, you've got endless hours of just practice and repeating the same pieces over and over again. However, overall, I really do enjoy myself and I'm very, very grateful for my mom and everyone around me who pushed me to continue, you know, pursuing my career, especially as a pianist.
It seems like you've got a lot of good energy in this room.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, I'm a very positive person. So no matter the outcome, I'm just so happy to be here. And I feel honored to have the chance to represent my country and to, you know, be around all these amazing people.
And final thought, because we are catching you just before your second rehearsal, so it's an important time. How are you feeling? Like, do you get nervous?
Right now, I'm not nervous. Right now, I'm excited.
It's because you're talking to me.
Probably. But now, once we get downstairs and we're micing me up and, like, you know, the 2 minutes of getting on stage, that's when the nerves really do kick in for me.
And Keith, what do you say to Emma just before she goes on stage?
Do what you know how to do best, you know, sing and perform. And she's fantastic at it. So we're really all really proud of her, really.
Very quickly, Emma, so somebody is just currently doing makeup on your leg.
Yeah, that's to make my skin sparkle.
You literally...
makeup artist. He's actually an incredible painter, besides being a makeup artist. So he does incredible body work, which you can also see on my dancers.
Lots of glitter everywhere.
Lots of glitter.
How do you get glitter off?
How do we get glitter off? Just with oil and soap.
Oil and soap. Amazing.
Car wash.
Go through the car wash. Emma, have a great rehearsal. Thanks, everybody. Everybody say hello. Emma, have an amazing rehearsal. I know you're so busy. So thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Today saw the long-awaited first rehearsals of the Big Five. That's France, Italy, Germany, the United Kingdom and Spain, who are represented this year by Chanel with Slow Mo. She has some of the tightest choreography of the year. It's her and five dancers with a song that is fair to say has been getting some huge reaction at some of the pre-parties. She is finally here, she's made it to the stage, and it's time to say hello to Chanel.
Today it was our first day on stage, and today, you know, this is so important for us.
How did it feel?
Very good, very comfortable. The stage is very huge, but also like warm. I don't know how can I say. Like comfortable, I feel like comfortable on it, and yeah, it was so good.
Your routine is so energetic,
yeah,
and you have to sing at the same time. So what do you do to keep fit and make sure that you can do both things at the same time?
You know, I was working on musicals like for a long time, and musical artists, they know how to do it. Like sing, and because in the musical you have to sing and dance at the same time and talk at the same time. But now, of course, this is harder because the dance is so hard and
fast.
And fast, of course. And I have to sing by myself, like lonely. I'm alone. It's only my voice. So it's difficult, but it's not impossible. So I have been training for a long time, like. In a cinta de correr, I don't know, treadmill.
On the treadmill, yeah.
Uh-huh, with heels.
Have you?
Yes, I have a picture I can show you.
Yes, please.
I don't have my phone here, but I want to show you.
Wait, so you've been training on a treadmill in your heels?
Yes.
What's that like?
The first day I was thinking, okay, I can do that, I can breathe. The second day, I can do like half of the song. The third day, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I have to add a level. So I put my heels.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
So now when you go out on stage, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's easy.
No, it's not. It's not nothing. The live show, when the audience are there, it's like life, you know? So everything can happen. We have to prepare before, like perfect. And when you are performing, just feel the energy of the audience, the energy of the cameras, and be and staying there and having fun.
Have you watched many fan videos of people doing your choreography?
Yes, a lot of them, and I love a lot of them, like all of them, because they are having fun, and that's the most important.
Because you're having fun.
Yes. This song is for having fun.
Spain loves Eurovision, but Spain hasn't done as well in previous years, a bit like the UK, other countries. It feels like the big five this year have gone up a level. Do you feel that?
I'm so concentrated and I'm so focused in my job. I want to do my best as an artist, my dancers too. And what happened, we'll see. But for me, this is more important to do my best for my country.
Chanel, can you introduce me to your dancers?
Yes, of course, my dancers, my family. Exxon.
Hola.
Yo, hola.
Hola, hola, hola.
Josh.
Hello, guys.
Raquel.
Hi.
Maria.
Hola.
And Paul.
Hola.
And together they are?
My dancers, Slow Mo team, my family.
Hey!
Are you having fun with Chanel?
Always.
All the time.
Always.
Like, she has more energy than us. Like,
for
she
sure.
has energy for everyone.
She's the one that make everything, like, oh my God. Like,
she's fire.
Yeah. Fire.
How many hours of dancing together have you put into this?
We have no time. Like, it's been like forever. Yeah. Like, too many hours. Like, it's a lot.
Too many hours.
We worked so hard for this performance. Yes. So I feel that we're gonna be the stage that everyone is hoping to be.
And I think we are prepared physically and mentality to be in the stage. So I think it's gonna be amazing.
And do you have anything that you do before you go on stage as a group? Can you tell us?
Always work with the right leg. Like, we have to put our right leg first on stage.
As soon as you go on stage, it has to be the right leg.
Exactly. Yes.
And also, I'm guessing you've become really good friends
together.
Yes. You know?
We're more than friends. We're family.
Yeah,
we're family. Yeah. It's so nice. Okay,
you.
Good luck, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, I'm sure.
This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.
Hi, Samia.
Hi, Steve.
I cannot believe where we are.
We're on stage.
We're on the actual stage. There we go. That's us dancing on the stage. I've never been... Oh, whistle. What does that mean?
Well, it's lunchtime, and usually during lunch, they do use the stage for pyro testing and fireworks in CO2.
Are we in a safe area?
We are. There's actually rosters.
Oh, there we go. There are some flames.
There's some rosters on the stage with massive neon tape, so you can't miss it. That says, like, CO2, pyro, or fireworks. And then it's really, really important for safety that nobody kind of steps on it, because you can, you know...
We don't want to even think about that.
Seriously get injured. But yeah, it's really cool to see, because the pyro is also really, really hot.
Yeah, I felt that just then. Like, and we're stood a good, like, 20 metres away from it.
We're behind the sun, which is at the back of the stage. We're next to the lead wall.
I've never been on an actual Eurovision stage before, and I can't quite believe it. Like, this is the view that every artist has when they look out. Obviously, it's an empty arena at the moment, but you can see the green room in front of us. There are seats all around us, and obviously behind us is the massive LED screen, the lighting rig, the sun. I just can't believe that this stage gets transformed each time into something completely different. It's such a spectacle.
The ceiling is filled to the brim with lights, and it's really cool, because we noticed that when we watched the rehearsals as well, that they kind of go up and down at a speed that's absolutely incredible, and the way that it moves automatically. So we have this thing called Q-Pilot, which means that we automatically can switch with a computer program between camera angles and light and everything, so everything works together to make sure that, well, basically nothing can go wrong, hopefully.
Nothing can go wrong, fingers crossed. Also, the LED screens are on the floor. There's this massive one behind us right now. It stretches across the whole back of the arena. It's like, let's just look up. Like, it's huge, and they can put whatever they want on it, you know?
We're not short people, but this is definitely bigger than us. And there's also a B stage, or something called the satellite stage for some people. So you have the main stage, and then you can walk down past the fountain. And then there's a tinier stage in front, also with like an LED thing on the bottom. And then there's two side panels that go up and rise during some of the performances.
It definitely feels a moment. And just being on the stage, seeing how much work has gone into the contest, seeing how grand it is, it kind of all comes home and hits you a little bit.
Yes, right in the face.
I should say as well, Samia is living up to Eurovision form today. She is wearing a burgundy monoskin sweatshirt.
I saw Damiano wear it in Rotterdam, and I was too shy to ask where he got it. But then it was released as merch, so I bought one. And I have a sticker as well that was in the package that I have on my laptop.
Remember to catch Samia on the Eurovision YouTube channel, Eurovision Backstage. She's making reports every single day. Loads of really interesting behind-the-scenes stuff, so go and check it out. They should check it out, right?
If you want to see video footage from what it's like to be on this stage, you can watch episode 4.
Right, straight after we came off stage, I saw one of the most iconic objects of this year's contest. It's not the Eurovision trophy, it's a simple bowl. You know what I'm talking about, right? It is the bowl which Constractor, who's representing Serbia, washes her hands in during her performance. It's a song about health, and I'm pleased to say she's here right now. How are you? Because it's been a manic day.
Yeah, it was quite a long day, but I'm still good. I'm just a little bit hungry, but never mind.
I'm going to show you a photo, because I said I saw one of the biggest celebrities here. I saw your bowl. I didn't touch it.
Yeah,
I stood around it.
That's the main subject of this performance. Yes, that's the main celebrity. Yeah, that's good.
It's mean.
You know about this chair?
No.
It's a chair from a grandma. Yeah. We especially took this chair because this is a chair of a grandma Kosara. Her name is Kosara.
Wait, so this isn't just a prop. This is special.
Yeah, this is special chair. Came from Serbia, and it's in property of a grandma.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So do you feel quite a sense of responsibility with
it? Yeah, I have our ancestors with us, you know, on the stage.
That's amazing.
It's good.
And you do have the cleanest hands in all of Eurovision.
That's for sure. I think that's for sure. Yeah. 3 minutes washing. Oh, I think I'm good.
I was worried because when we spoke to the head of the contest, he said that no water was allowed on stage. And we were worried that you weren't allowed.
Yeah, we were really surprised when they told us so, but somehow we managed to get a little bit of water. Just a little bit of water, and we have a carpet under me, so water shouldn't go to the stage, because I don't know who is after me. He could slip, you know.
Are you enjoying this Eurovision experience?
I must admit, it's much more pleasant and much less stressful than I expected. So it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Also, I think a lot of people are really enjoying you being part of Eurovision. Does that make sense? I think a lot of people really respect your performance. There's nothing like it in the competition.
I'm getting such an expression also. Because our performance is recognized as an artistic performance. So I'm glad about it, you know. I'm glad that people are recognizing the lyrics and the potential of this performance. It's a little bit off. It's not quite usual for Eurovision to have such a performance. It's a bit theatrical. But it's very well accepted here.
But also it feels that it's very much you. It's what you do. It's who you are.
Yeah, it's me, because, you know, I wrote the song with my friend, and that's what we do. We haven't written the song for Eurovision, you know. We've written the song and then we applied. Let's apply. Let's see what can happen. And here we are. It happened.
So give me an honest answer. Did you ever expect to win the Serbian national final?
No. I haven't even dreamt of, you know, even today I woke up and I was like, okay, this is Eurovision. Okay. So every day I have to remind myself that I'm really here in Eurovision. It's not quite my, you know, lifestyle.
We are next to the, look, yes. Eurovision in massive letters behind you. You are here.
Okay, I have that in mind.
You are part of everything.
Yeah, I'm part of music videos always, because, you know, I have an idea what I want to say. Lyrics are really important for me. And every song I write, I choose the theme. And then I write about that theme. And then, in a way, I know what's the best way to transferred that into video. So I'm not the director, but I'm working with a director. I'm giving the concept and then we start to work.
You're involved in the process heavily.
Yes, of course.
And that's what we see on stage as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. On stage, we also have this choir behind me. We call them, that this is a joke, Latin dance choir, because they are singing in Latin, old Latin, yeah?
The Latin dance choir.
Yeah, Latin dance choir. They wanted to dance Macarena, but they didn't allow us.
No, it's actual Latin. Yeah, the other, yeah, actual Latin. Il corpo sono, actual Latin.
Latin. Yeah, it's actual Latin. And somebody told me that this is the first time that Latin is used in Eurovision song.
And finally, you studied architecture.
Yes.
What is your favorite building in Europe? What do you think is the most beautiful building?
But you know, this is a tough question. I can say about Belgrade.
Belgrade, yeah, let's do Belgrade.
I like brutalism in modern architecture. So everything from that area is for me wonderful, you know, and New Belgrade, there are a lot of, it's a new city. This is a modern architecture, so I live in New Belgrade, and I adore it. And when we are to Europe, yeah, a lot of buildings are, nothing came to my mind at the moment.
That's okay.
But
no,
brutalism, it's the good frame.
No, it's a beautiful form of architecture. I love it too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Constructor, good luck. Enjoy Eurovision. And just to remind you, yes, again, we are at Eurovision.
Okay.
You made it.
Yeah, we did it. It's kind of rock and roll.
Where else are you going to get a Eurovision podcast that discusses brutalism? Love it. And Constructor, she's great. On to a country now that has some bright pink staging, some surreal face coverings, and a super catchy chorus. It's Georgia. This year, the song is Lock Me In, and the band are Circus Mercus. And even seeing them work the delegation bubble room is psychedelic. And as Rob Lilly found out, one of them has sprouted an impressive garden beard, quite literally.
This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.
So I'm joined by Georgia's Circus Mercus. Hello, everybody.
Hello. One and only. I wanted to hear one and only, yes. Circus Mercus. Can you repeat it? Can you just say unnecessary circus? One and only unnecessary Circus Mercus.
Now, just talk me through your outfits. Of course, on stage, we know what we get from Circus Mercus, which is a magical mystery tour of costume. Talk me through the flower beard, which you are currently wearing, sir.
Yes, it is a beard that I grew about 20 minutes ago. And it is poisonous. If I don't water it, these little bits here down will attack me and strangle me. And also I have to water it down because birds nest in there and they poo all over me and it smells really bad. It has to be in shape all the time.
We have different masks every day, depending on our mood, but on a stage, yes, we have like certain outfit, which the outfit that made our master of ceremonies is like a greatest designer, and thanks to him that we look so cool in it.
Yep. So who is the master of ceremonies? Can you tell me?
Yeah, of course, he's our master of ceremonies. That's all we know about him. But you have seen him a lot of time, most probably you also, in our announcement video. He announced our participation in Eurovision. Also, he's featured, our whole music video is based around him. So he's a total coolest guy, not only in Georgia, but in the Western Hemisphere, I would say. I'm not sure about the Eastern, because we have not been there yet.
Yes.
But yeah, he is a really cool guy, so.
We've never seen him in person, though.
Do you think the Master of Ceremonies, maybe he's already told you, is he proud of what you are doing on stage here in Turin?
Rumor has it that he is super proud, and there are some footages of him being very happy, but we have seen it, and it's included in the music video. And doing all kinds of acrobatics.
And will you be incorporating any of those flips into your own performance?
We were about to do that, but unfortunately, I hurt my back. He also hurt his back. Ramirez also hurt his back.
But
and
Klimeth. Anyway, he can do front flips and back flips.
Ramirez was not in circus. Pavons and Igor went to academy, the circus academy. I was working in
Jean-Baptiste Toulouse, Jean-Baptiste Labarre Circus in Toulouse. And they never made it in circus. I was in circus, I was a lion tamer and did some acrobatics, but we had a great show for you on the stage, but we hurt our back, so we had to change it just a swap of a finger.
Eurovision is a bit like a circus in many ways. Has the circus and life in the circus prepared you for what is going to happen over the next couple of weeks or the next week and a half?
I think we are prepared for it.
Yes, we are.
You know, like, circus is a bit higher than music. It stands a bit higher. Right? So we dropped down from circus to music, so it's easy for us.
So after you do the circus, Eurovision is easy?
Yes, of course.
Everything is easy after you're doing a front flips on the rope.
Front flips on the rope, and when you fall down, the feeling when you are falling down concrete. When you are falling down on a concrete from a 57 meter long high rope, it is a great feeling. And when they pick you up in pieces and stitch you up, it's after that everything is easy.
So after life in the circus, now here at Eurovision, after being sent, of course, by the Master of Ceremonies, how proud are you to be representing Georgia? And have you got any messages for the people back at home?
We are really proud, and we are really happy to be, you know, like doing our stuff here, and also representing the country that we love, that we admire.
Circus Merkus, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
I feel that all got a bit surreal, and I can confirm the word circus was mentioned 11 times. They're in semi-final 2. Can they qualify for the final? If they did, it'd be the first time Georgia has made it there since 2016. Next, we are going to Israel. Well, we're not going to Israel. Israel is coming to us because Michael Ben David is a force of nature. His song is I Am. And for the interview, he was wearing a spectacular orange suit. This guy knows how to be seen in a crowd. And as I've already hinted on the podcast today, we share a love of Celine Dion. Michael Ben David, representing Israel. What a day you've had. You've talked nonstop.
Yes, I feel like I'm Celine Dion. Listen to me, like in Vegas. I'm so thrilled to be here, and it's amazing. And I'm so excited because people are wanting to talk to me, you know, talk with me. So it's kind of amazing, no? Don't you think?
And you like talking to people, right?
Hell yeah, I like hugging people.
You came into the delegation bubble today. You announced Celine Dion is here.
And it's not me. Yes, that's what I said.
Why do you love her so much?
She's an inspiration. She's an amazing vocalist and she's an amazing woman. And I love her so much. She has been through so much, you know, when her husband died, Renee. I'm like a biggest fan, you know, her and Nicole Scherzinger, yeah.
And Celine won the Eurovision Song Contest,
yes,
you know?
Yes, she's awesome. Awesome blossom.
So what was your kind of earliest Eurovision memory? Who can you really remember seeing and going, that's amazing?
I remember Conchita. I was out of breath, you know. Wow, 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 wow. I love him so much. He's an amazing vocalist again, and is my inspiration because he did that, you know. He was amazing. This song is it's a masterpiece, so Conchita definitely.
What's the whole schedule been like here?
It's kind of crazy, you know, because everything is like, you know, in a rush. 10 minutes for this, we have 10. But I'm just trying to be focused, you know, and do my best. And I'm super pleased with the performance. There's a lot of work doing, you know, cameras and all this kind of stuff. But I just want this to be on the highest level that I can bring to the table, you know.
Do you dream of your performance? Do you know what I mean? Are you at that stage where you go to sleep, but you're still counting the dance moves in your head?
Yes, that's only the thing that will help me, you know. This is what I'm doing when I'm going to sleep. And that's the reason I remember everything on stage, you know.
Something crucial to your performance is your dancers. You're all in complete synchronicity. So how much work has gone in with them? I assume they're your friends now as well.
Listen, they already have been my friends before because I knew them when I wasn't famous. And there was like a big dancer in Israel. And it was a big dream for me, you know, the little boy from, you know, south in Israel. You know, want to dance and sing. And then I came to the X Factor and I won. And then they brought me them. So this is a I'm a winner in all the situation, you know?
So I've been talking to people about their good luck charms. It sounds like they are your good luck charms.
Yes, I'm nothing without them because they are my energy. They are my everything. So this is not Michael Ben-David. This is Michael and his crew members, you know? So yeah, I'm without them, I'm nothing.
You mentioned Nicole Scherzinger as well. Yeah. So she's your other diva, number one diva?
She's my number one inspiration. She's an amazing person and an amazing singer. She's my everything. She's basically saved my life when I was a child and I didn't want to live anymore, you know. I find myself through her, you know, because she was the singing opera and music theater, you know, not just the Pussycat Dolls as in a person. And so I basically feel like I'm a little Nicole Scherzinger right now.
That video of her singing Phantom of the Opera where she goes up and up and up, it's amazing that you take some influence.
Yes, when I was on stage today, I was like, I'm Nicole Scherzinger. I was screaming at my dancer, who is Nicole? You are. Yes, let's do it. She's everything. She's my everything.
So basically, if we took Nicole Scherzinger and we take Celine Dion, we get a little bit of you.
Hell yeah. Excellent.
When you watch Eurovision, you see the artists on stage, and what you might not realise is this huge team of people around them, behind the scenes, making everything run like clockwork. So, take Reddy from Denmark. They've got press people, they've got managers, songwriters, choreo people, people there to support them, and they're all brought together by one person, who is their head of delegation. That person has a huge job here. So Rob Lilly has been chatting to Denmark's head of delegation, as well as the band. Over to Rob with Reddy.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, another busy day here at the Palat Olympico. We're at dressing room number 10. Just going to knock on the door. If I come in, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I find Denmark's head of delegation, Molly Plank. Hello.
Hello.
We're in the dressing room now. You know, we've got the band's costumes. They're on the hangers on the left-hand side there. The guitars are just kind of strewn around. But very exciting boots. I'm loving the boots.
Yeah, they're great. It's the drummer's private boots. It's not for the stage, but it's like her own outfit.
But just give the listeners an idea as to what your job is, because we hear the title, head of delegation, a lot. But what does it actually mean?
Well, it starts like a month before. And we're like the contact between EBU and the host broadcaster and our own act. So my role is to make our act ready for Eurovision.
See what you did there, no pun intended.
No, so I hire the people that will need to go with us on stage and off stage, directors, makeup artists, and put this whole group together. Will be like the contact between EBU, post-broadcaster and our act to settle everything and to manage to prepare everything. There's hundreds of deadlines, of course. It's a big TV show and we need to all work together. It's a big corporation. So that's like the biggest role, to make sure that everything is in order when we... What is that sound?
That is... It's a very heavy rainstorm here in Turin. People say come to Turin expecting lovely sunny weather, but I think it's raining.
It's really strange. Yeah, and when we come down here, we of course we prepare everything in the month before, and that's like a full-time job for 2 or 3 months. And then when we come down here, it's still like the, how to explain that, to be the one putting everything together.
You're like the cog in the centre of the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
With all the organising you need to do.
Yeah.
Do you have a very, very busy and full WhatsApp group? Is there a Eurovision Denmark WhatsApp group?
Oh, yes. And it's a Eurovision WhatsApp group about everything from daily program, timing list, to shot list, to what time are we going out for dinner, to where's my shoes, can you bring some water? It's like everything in one group.
I am now joined by Reddy. Should we go down the line? Who have I got?
I'm Agnes and I play the guitar.
My name is Ihan and I play the drums.
And I'm Ida and I play the bass.
I'm Siggy and I sing and play piano and play guitar.
Now, we are speaking just after your second rehearsal. How did it go?
Yeah, I mean, we have so much fun playing this song and it just gets more and more fun every time we play it. And we're still like playing around with it. We're not that stuck in, you know, choreography, and we're still like exploring and experimenting, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, when the pyro is on, when it gives you poof, poof,
so
poof.
Much
yeah, that's the best part.
And the stage is actually amazing, so we're so lucky to be on it.
Talk to me about the pyro, because I was watching your rehearsal from the back of the green room, and it's the type of pyro where you jump out of your seat because it just comes and you're like, you know, it's so impactful. What was it like rehearsing with that for the first time?
I was really afraid, because when we got here, they told me that I couldn't, if you fell on it, you were like, that's not good. And I stand next to it, and I like, even in my everyday, I fell a lot because, I don't know, that just happened. So I really... And we have these huge boots, and no one can walk in them. In Denmark, when we had the pyro, it was like outside of the stage, so you knew it wasn't going to hit you. But now you can literally walk on them, and I love that.
You love that level of jeopardy, that's what you want.
You need some adventure in it, you know?
Living on the edge. Yes.
Now, it's less than 10 years ago since Denmark won the Eurovision Song Contest. I mean, what are your memories of Denmark winning Eurovision? I mean, Ihan, I know that you, of course, were at Eurovision just the year before Denmark won the Eurovision Song Contest with Saluna Samay. I mean, do you remember your own experience? Like it was yesterday, even though it was back in 2012?
Yeah, for sure. I remember it so well. And I actually remember that I was jealous at Emily DeForest for winning. I was like, why wasn't it us? But yeah, I loved that experience. And it has such a huge place in my heart.
You are one of the first kind of all-female rock bands to do Eurovision for a long time. You know, we go back like Vanilla Ninja, they did it in the mid-2000s. I know we've not seen many all-female rock bands at the Eurovision Song Contest. So how special is it to be doing that and doing that genre of music here?
It is quite special, but I mean, we try not to think about us being women too much, but of course it's a statement, and I mean, for us, it's just there are too few, and I agree with you. Like, it's been too long since there was. It should be more common, because we see boy bands, bands consisting of men all the time. So I don't get why it should be this unusual. We want to change that.
Thank you to Denmark, and thank you to Rob. Joining us now is Eurovision's walking encyclopedia. It's Sam Ross. Hi, Sam.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Working for Eurovision.tv, also have your own podcast, 12 Points from America, and what you don't know about Eurovision is not worth knowing.
Oh, it's incredibly charitable of you to say, thank you.
Now, a couple of things that people have said today, I want to fact check them with you. So, Constructor from Serbia believes it's the first time that Latin has been used on the Eurovision stage. Can you confirm this?
That is sort of accurate. It's the first time that it's actually been featured in lyrics to a Eurovision song. Sus by Ronan Ishliu for Albania back in 2012 had a Latin language title, but it wasn't actually sung in the song. So, you know, take that as you will. However, I will say that this is something that the folks at Junior Eurovision actually pipped the big boys to the post at. The Irish debut entry at Junior, which was Rail to Namara by Amy Banks, was not only performed in Irish, but the chorus also heavily featured Latin as well. So Junior got there first back in 2015.
How many languages are being spoken in this year's Eurovision Song Contest?
All right, so we've got English, of course. We've got Breton, not French, Breton. We've got Icelandic, Italian, Lithuanian, Dutch, Slovenian, Ukrainian, Albanian, Greek, Romanian, Portuguese, Serbian, and Spanish. So what is that?
14.
14. All right.
And I was also thinking, because we heard Circus Mercus say circus so many times, and they mentioned the name of their band in their song, Lock Me In. Are they the only band this year that mentions themselves in their lyrics?
Well, not quite. I would have to say that the folks from LPS from Slovenia singing disco in basically the second line of the song, they do name check themselves. I would also say that Subwoofer, they might not say the word Subwoofer in the song itself, Give That Wolf a Banana, but they do mention their names. They do say, I'm going to call you Keith and I'm going to call you Jim. So you can sort of say that there. And of course, Achille Lauro doesn't mention himself in the song Stripper. He just mentions literally everybody else in the face of the world. So
Madonna, Britney.
Yeah, basically. I'm surprised that you and I aren't mentioned in it, really.
We wish. Maybe we can hold out some hope.
Ooh, maybe if he comes back next year. Yeah.
And breathe out. That was a busy episode. So many Eurovision acts today, and there are still more to come. I hope you've enjoyed episode 8 of the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. Loads more to come from me and the team before the grand final on the 14th of May. For now, though, as always, ciao.
This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.